Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Sound Radar, Games Radar's video game music and audio podcast. Today, I'm joined by Gordy Habb and Kyle Newmaster, who worked on the recently released Kinect Star Wars and has also worked on Star Wars The Old Republic. Welcome, Kyle.
Oh, hello.
Gordy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very well.
And thanks for joining me. And so let's just start from the beginning. Kyle, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into composing music for games?
Yeah, sure. Well, my background is, obviously I grew up as a musician, you know, studying music, piano, trumpet, and then got into composing and was really doing mostly film scoring up until recently, where actually Gordy has been doing quite a bit of game scoring here in the past 3-4 years or so. And he actually brought me on board for this game. Previously, I'd done some orchestration and a little bit of additional music on a couple of games, but for me, this is my first actual, scoring credit with a game, and Gordy's actually the one that brought me on for this.
Great. So, Gordy, how did you get into video game music composing and then end up working together with Kyle?
Well, my background is also sort of classical composition, my first game was actually Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings, which is a LucasArts game. I had gotten into that game through a friend of mine, Jesse Harlan, who's the a composer in the audio department at LucasArts Entertainment. And he had brought me onto that game, and I guess a demo of mine had been passed around the office, some music I had written actually with Kyle for a YouTube video called Ryan versus Dorkman 2. And I guess they really liked what they heard and brought me on to score Indiana Jones. And after I had scored that game, I guess they liked what I had done there as well and brought me on board for Star Wars The Old Republic. And I guess the rest is sort of history in a sense. They liked what I did there, and someone at Microsoft had heard some of the music I did for The Old Republic and hired me to do the Star Wars Kinect. And having worked with Kyle in the past and knowing his ability to write in this style very well also, I brought him on board.
That's awesome. So the music in Star Wars is so iconic and such an important part of the franchise. And you guys have worked on, Kinect Star Wars, The Old Republic, and Indiana Jones. And these are big franchises to be tackling. So how did you guys approach the score to each of them? Like, were they similar or different? Gordy, do you want to start?
When I first started working in games with Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings, it was a particular challenge for me because I knew that it was filling these pretty large shoes and that I had to at least pay as much homage as possible to those original scores, which not only a fan of, but I have a high respect for the writing level that those scores were written. So with that game, I tried my best to sort of do my take on John Williams' style of writing. You know, bring in my own melodies and bring in my own style of orchestration, but do it within the framework of a John Williams score. And I guess that kind of carried through with all of these games. I mean, the same with The Old Republic, which was, of course, all of our assignment there was to, pay as much homage to the original scores as possible while creating something new. So, yeah, I mean, that's sort of it. And the same with Star Wars Kinect.
Kyle, do you have anything to add?
I think same as Gordy. I mean, I grew up, obsessed with the soundtracks, Indiana Jones and Star Wars and all of the iconic Williams scores. And so I think it's kind of etched in my brain the way that sound is. And so when approaching a game like this, or this was, like I said, my first full game credit, but I with the orchestration that I helped out with on Old Republic a little bit, and anytime I've done anything in this style, I try to bring my own, melodic and harmonic sense to it, but you have to approach it from an orchestrational way. Like, you have to basically kind of think of the way Williams would orchestrate and then kind of go towards that, but with some of your original ideas. So I think it's really just trying to really analyze kind of what makes the Star Wars sound, musically and emotionally, the way you react to it, and then just trying to bring your own sound to that and keeping it true to the game. So I think that just growing up like a huge Star Wars and Indiana Jones fan and all of that, and that style of music, it helps sort of, at the end of the day, when you're done writing, you can go sit back and listen and sort of analyze whether or not you've accomplished, getting close to that style. So, yeah, it's a little bit of analyzing, a little bit of trying to, it's a fine line of doing your own thing and trying to stay within the sound of the Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree with that too. Actually, you know, I grew up with those scores, of course, as well. Cal and I are certainly from the same generation. And I think that there's sort of an advantage to that, too, because having been kids when Star Wars came out and E.T. came out and Indiana Jones, it's sort of before we even learned to study music, that music was such a big part of our lives and has sort of, you know, infused itself or into our, you know, the very fabric of our being in a sense. So when we're called to write like that, it's less about having to figure out how to write like that than it is about figuring out how I can get my ideas into a sound that already exists in my head.
And I think you're trying to get that same emotion into the music that you felt when you heard Williams' scores.
Exactly.
The yeah. original film. So it's kind of, like I said, when you're analyzing back what you've done, you really want to try to get some sort of Star Wars, you know, magic into the score.
Absolutely.
So being fans, I mean, you know how those Star Wars fans can react to things, but do you guys feel a lot of pressure in trying to, you know, achieve what you're trying to do?
Yeah, quite a bit of pressure, actually. And that's something that's constantly on my mind as I'm working on scores like this, that, you know, like I said before, it's pretty large shoes to fill. And fans of these particular franchises are they're pretty particular about what they want to hear and see. Yeah, it's a little tricky. It's pretty intimidating to, you know, to look at a blank page and know that at the end of the day it has to be something that matches up to the level of, you know, something John Williams would have written, and that you have millions of fans out there that are ready to critique it. Yeah, it's kind of a challenge. But I mean, again, it comes back to the fact that we are those fans as well. So at the end of the day, I'm just trying to create what I'd want to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think we were able to do that too, within the game. I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit, but we were able to, you know, have little hints of melodies you might have heard in Star Wars or harmonic things you've heard. You know, so we would be writing our own piece, but then you'd kind of give a little nod to the original score here and there so that people get excited about hearing that. So, you know, as a fan of the music, the original music myself, I've, you know, it's exciting for me to try to blend, you know, original with the Star Wars sound.
And talking about, like, the Old Republic, it must have been a fairly big team that worked on that because it's an MMO. So I was wondering, like, how are the assignments divvied up between the two of you and the rest of the group?
There were five. Actually, I guess there's way more than five composers actually on the Old Republic. For the orchestral side of the score, there were five main credited composers: myself, Mark Grisky, Lenny Moore, Jesse Harlan, and Warwick Roget. And the five of us, Jesse Harlan is staff composer at LucasArts and in the audio department. So he essentially headed up that project as far as who was to do what. And on that project, it was sort of divided into planets. And, you know, each one of us, five composers, were assigned a few planets that we had to write themes for and write music that were based on our own themes for that planet. And, you know, as is all, you know, production and games and film and TV alike, they're usually pretty down to the wire and, you know, the schedules are maybe a little unrealistic. And that's where Kyle comes in on the Old Republic because, you know, when I was up against the deadline and maybe a little behind schedule and needed a couple pieces of music written, I brought Kyle in to work with me. So he sort of worked through me on that particular project, but with me on Star Wars Connect.
Oh, cool. So then guessing deadlines are kind of different. So with Connect Star Wars, how was that? Like, were you coming in towards the, you know, end of the stage, or were you there from the beginning?
With games, the music usually comes in and somewhat in the middle of the process. With Connect, it was a little closer to the end than I had personally been used to, because we were against a delivery at that time, and also we were against the availability of the London Symphony and Abbey Road, and so we had I think for 120 minutes, 2 hours of music, about 7 weeks to write that before we flew to London and recorded it.
Yeah, I think so. I remember the first day. You worked a few days ahead before I did.
Yeah.
And then he was hired, and then he brought me on. We knew the deadline and the schedule. And there was about, I think when I started, about 6.5 weeks until the recording session. So it really came down to finding out when we could book a studio and an orchestra that we wanted to hire, and then just hitting that deadline. So writing that much music in that amount of time was definitely a challenge. Had a good team of people helping out too with the copy work and orchestration and things like that. And you just get a deadline, you get it done.
Yeah. I'm not sure how it got done, but it did somehow.
Yeah, you're never like kind of like what Gordy said earlier about when you start and you look at the blank page and it's like, how am I going to make this, you know, write something that's nothing right now into what needs to be, you know, Star Wars in the next, you know, 6-8 hours or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, especially at the beginning of the process, knowing we had to write 100 to 120 minutes of music by that date was a challenge. And but I think it was exciting to know that we had that to shoot for.
Yeah.
And that 6 weeks, 7 weeks later, we would have an amazing product from the recording session.
Yeah, a little overwhelming, but a lot of fun in retrospect.
Definitely.
So Kyle, you guys touched on this earlier too, but so original tunes versus new original melodies, how much of the original stuff were you required to use, or was that just up to your own?
Yeah, there was no requirement. I think at first, actually, we weren't sure if we were going to be using any Williams themes at all. We just wrote all original music completely. And I would say probably 90% of the music doesn't have any Star Wars themes or hints. It's really just a few of the pieces that we wrote for iconic planets and characters that we threw in a quote here and there that people will recognize. But there was never, for the most part, it's all original. So I think it's kind of more just when, kind of what we talked about earlier, when do we think if we were playing the game, we would want to hear some sort of a Williams quote, like the Force theme. You know, everybody knows the Force theme from all the movies, or, you know, the main Star Wars motive, or, you know, on a specific planet.
Yeah.
Like, I think Padres on Cloud City, was that the one that we
did
quotes to Bespin, and just some, you know, we tried to think of what would we want to hear if we were playing the game. But for the most part, it's all original themes and just in the Star Wars orchestration style.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably even more than 90% original to us, because we also knew that at a certain point we discovered that there would be at least some level of music from the original films being used in the game as well. So assuming that, we figured, you know, if that's going to be enough for the player and the end audience to get a little taste of the original scores, so let's give them something new as well. So.
And then this question is for both of you. So what were some of your most memorable tracks to work on for Kinect Star Wars?
For me, I think my favorite track to work on was for Podrace Tatooine, which I think the actual track on the soundtrack is going to be Sebulba and the Bunta Eve classic. And that was one of the tracks that I'm not sure exactly why it's my favorite. It just... It's one of these things where every other track I had a day or a day and a half, 2 days at the most to write. This one took a long time for me to sort of conceive, and it was the track that I wrote. I started writing. It was the first one I started to write, and it was the last one I finished as well. So it took the whole course of my writing process to sort of complete, and while other tracks were being filled in between. That's my favorite. And then I'd say second to that would be the material I wrote for the planet Felucia, and which exists both in the pod racing mode of the game and the Jedi duel mode of the game. And that was fun for me because I developed a new theme that hadn't been heard before, and I got to develop that through the course of numerous pieces of music.
Yeah, for me, I think my favorite track to write was for Jedi mode, and it's, I believe the title we went with was Mavra versus the Magna Guards. And it's actually starts out as a space battle cue above the planet Providence, which is, in this game, you see a lot of Providence.
Right, yeah.
And I think just, you know, it was a chance for a lot of the pieces we wrote, really hardcore action fight and all that. Yeah. And this was the first one I had a chance to write something where I could imagine it being in space. So I kind of got to, you know, do orchestrational hints at The Empire Strikes Back, which, you know, is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I just had a really good time writing it. I feel like the orchestra played it really well. And so that in the soundtrack, we actually have, usually within each piece, there's a couple of different selections within our soundtrack titles that we picked. And so the end of that piece is then, it starts out as kind of a battle, and then it develops into a victorious cue, which kind of almost hints back to, you know, sort of Amazing Stories or
yeah.
Triumphant, you know, Star Wars style orchestration music. And so that cue, I think, is my favorite on the soundtrack release that we're going to do. Second to that, I think I had a really good time with Coruscant pod racing, which, you know, we got to write a bunch of fanfares to introduce the pod racing. And so those were really fun to write. And then, you know, you hear some intense action music and some kind of building action music. And so that one's called Clegg's Swan Song. And so I think those two were probably my favorite personal ones that I was able to work on.
So there is a soundtrack scheduled to be released, right?
The soundtrack is just going to be released online. It won't be a physical CD, but okay. It'll be something that LucasArts and Microsoft Game Studio are going to release probably on a YouTube channel or something along those lines so that fans of the game can check out the music separated from the game.
Oh, okay. So it's not, is it going to be purchasable or just like listen, like being pulled
No,
on?
It won't be something that you can purchase, but it'll just be free for all users.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
So you guys both have a big history, you know, composing for film and TV. So how do you guys like working for video games? Like, how does it compare?
Yeah, comparison-wise, in a lot of ways, it's very similar. The schedules tend to be, in games, at least in the few that I've worked on, a little more relaxed than film and TV, which I think has played to my advantage quite a bit, because I'd say 80% of my work as a professional composer has been in film, and 20% in games. And in film, the schedules are borderline unrealistic, and it's not that unexpected to have to write 3 or 4 minutes of music in a day on those schedules. And so, you know, for me on Star Wars Connect, because the schedule was so tight, I think that really played to my advantage because I'm used to that speed of writing. But truthfully, I would say that, you know, the average video game scoring schedule is you probably have about 3 months to write the music, where on a film you'd have a month. And so that's a major difference. The other difference is in film, of course, you're the last step in the process. So you're looking at a finished picture and you're scoring, you're writing music to fit, you know, specific beats in a scene. And usually the film is edited and locked at that point. So your form and your skeleton, your structure of your music is sort of established for you already, because you have 15 seconds to establish this little idea before it cuts to a new scene and you have to jump to a new piece of music. And then, you know, you have maybe another 25 seconds before there's a really important moment in the scene and you have to shift gears. In games, it's a little more from concept stage. So we're looking at still images and descriptions of what the gameplay will be like, but we're not actually scoring to gameplay. So it's a little looser in a sense, in that there is no form or structure sort of established ahead of time. But it's that can also be a little more challenging because you have to come up with a form. I mean, you have to imagine what the gameplay would be like and write as though you're writing to that picture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're writing, in a lot of ways, writing for games is like writing a piece for, to me at least when you're writing a selection, like if you're asked to write a combat cue that lasts 3 minutes, a lot of times you receive, you find out, okay, we need a piece that's a combat cue, and it should sound like, you know, you're in the forest and about to fight, or, you know, and then you're fighting. And then you might get an instruction to write a 1 minute battle cue that will come out of that cue. So when you're actually writing the selection, for me, it feels almost like you're writing as if you're writing just for an orchestra or, you know, just a concert at Symphony Hall, because you're not trying to hit every marker like in a film. But the tricky part is then thinking how that piece will develop into the more intense piece when the game develops into that. So thinking about those two, I think for me was, you know, the challenging and interesting part. And then a lot of times we would write kind of in between cues to help us get one selection to the next. And of course, that's going to change every time a person plays the game, because everybody's going to go at a different pace. And so you have to write something that will bridge those two selections. So for me, it was almost like just trying to, it was a lot of fun, and I know it was for you too, Gori, just mm-hmm. to write music for music's sake, but then imagine it, like you said, developing as if you were playing the game. You kind of have to imagine yeah. how that might develop, and then where it would go to, and how you're going to get from one to the next. Yeah. So the music has to lend itself well to head a different direction on the push of a button.
Yeah, And to that end, also, you know, once you start writing a piece of music, once it develops, you can kind of go anywhere you want. But the trick is you have to find a way to wrap it up so that it can essentially loop back to the beginning of the piece somewhat seamlessly and sound musical. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't sound like an edit or a cut in the music. And that's something that's a new challenge in games that doesn't exist in film.
Mm-hmm. And would you both like to continue working in games now that you've done a few?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a great experience. I mean, everything about writing for this game was just, you know, a lot of fun. And, you know, the recording experience was amazing. And, you know, everybody we worked with was really cool. So I think, you know, writing music and having it played and used in a game is just, for me, it was a ton of fun.
Yeah. And likewise, I mean, I really enjoy working in games. And I mean, I feel that there's a real desire from the game studios and the end player as well to hear music that's recorded with live musicians. And I mean, that certainly exists in film as well, but, you know, to a less degree, I think, unless you're one of the very lucky few in film that get to record with a full symphonic orchestra, you know, I mean, you're using smaller orchestras or you're using, you know, samples and computers and synthesizers and that type of thing to produce your score. In games, there's a high value placed on recording with orchestra, and that's my love, and I think that's Kyle's love as well. So it's a really good fit for both of us, I think.
Great. Yeah, it helps that Lucas has a big budget, too.
It doesn't hurt things at all when you're dealing with Lucas and Microsoft.
Yeah. So are you guys gamers? Do you guys play a lot of video games in your free time?
I do. I mean, I'm actually more into the social games, believe it or not. Because believe it or not, I get when I play the first person shooter games, sometimes I get a little dizzy. But you know, it's like play for a certain amount of time, you know. But I really do enjoy them, and I think the graphics and the storylines that are in games now are pretty incredible. So it's almost like you get to create your own film in a lot of ways. I think it's pretty neat.
Yeah, and for me, I grew up, you know, completely obsessed with games in the 80s and into the early 90s, And at one point, I know I had to sort of cut myself off because I would just get so into it and I wouldn't get anything else done. And so I actually had a good 10, 12 year period of time where I just didn't play any games. And so now that I've come back into it in the last few years, it's, you know, I'm not playing as much as I did back then, but I mean, the games are just so much more incredible now. And it's like you're actually the character in the game yourself, you know, it's like your avatar. And so it's pretty amazing. So like, I'm planning on getting into the Old Republic and playing actually.
Yeah,
it just seems so incredible. Like, you know, but I haven't played, I would say, I haven't been dedicated to playing in a while, but I love video games and it's definitely pulling me back.
Yeah, just a warning with MMOs, like people just sink hours into it, so you may not have time to do anything else.
I know, I'm scared. Yeah.
Well, I don't mind getting hooked into the Old Republic in particular. I mean, yes, you're absolutely right, because it can suck hours away from your life, but it's Star Wars, so I mean, it can't be bad. It's a really cool game, and I'm just getting into it, and you know, I'm wandering around, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm learning. A lot of fun, and it's so deep. Mm-hmm. That particular game, you know, MMOs in particular tend to be that way, but the Old Republic seems to have levels and levels that, you know, just keeps going. It's pretty amazing.
The other thing now too, I think, I mean, the music in games compared to, like I said, back when I was playing them all the time, I mean, it changed so much in like 10 years or so that, you know, now when I play a game, it feels like feels like you're in a movie. You know, we're back in the day, it was like little 8-bit sounds and music, you know, it just wasn't anywhere in the same universe, really.
Yeah. I mean, they really are like films that you get to live inside of these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So my last question for you guys is, like, where do you guys hope video game music heads in the future?
For me, I hope that it sustains what it's doing right now, because I think in a lot of ways, it's right on top of the world as far as its demands for music and you know, its production quality and the level of writing that's happening in games. You know, I just hope that it continues to sustain this same level of desire and interest from the end user and the game studios, because you know, it's pretty amazing to, you know, have so many composers writing so much great music and getting to record it with, you know, like for Star Wars Connect, the London Symphony, or using the best players in Los Angeles or San Francisco, or, you know, orchestras all around the world. I mean, that's the best possible scenario for me as a composer, is to be able to continue doing that. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that it just keeps doing what it's doing right now.
I mean, same with me. I mean, really, there was no better scenario for this game, for Star Wars Connect, because I think we might have briefly talked about earlier, but, you know, recording in the same room with the same, you know, microphone set up with one of the engineers that worked on it, with the same musicians, and it just, you know, recreating exactly what they did for the original movies for the game. I mean, there's really no way to take it production-wise, you know, with the recording and stuff like that to a higher level. So I also hope they just, you know, continue to do this and value, you know, the quality of, you know, value the music and the importance of it. And so, it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, and that was a very conscious effort on my part when we were, you know, when I first started discussing all of the options with Microsoft Game Studios and LucasArts, is to essentially narrow it down to the only difference between the original scores from Star Wars and what we were going to deliver would be the composers. If we want to get as close as possible, let's use the same orchestra, let's use the same recording studio, the same engineers, same microphones, the same production quality, so that essentially the only difference is what I'm able to do. And then that way it just boils it down to, it just puts everything on me to to make it as best as I can. And everything else should just come out in the wash, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, do you guys have any future video game projects that you're working on? I know the game industry is actually really secretive, so if you do, you probably can't even talk about it. But yeah, I was just curious.
I'll just say yes. there's some projects on the horizon that I can't talk about, but you know how it goes. I mean, she is very secretive.
Well, I can't wait to see what you guys have next. Well, thank you both, Gordy and Kyle, for your time.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
And that's it for this week's episode of Sound Radar. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @gr_soundradar for updates and giveaways. And of course, come back to gamesradar.com for our ongoing video games coverage.